Quarterback back at the five, steps up, gets drilled. Yes, sir, he gets mashed. And that is going to be the ball game. 6-5-4-3. They can't snap it. They can't stop it. They can't win it. Alabama wins the ball game.
Derrick Thomas, linebacker in Alabama.
He was a nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Woo! Son, y'all got to do better than this.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourselves on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season. And they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning, welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, digital managing editor, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa. J.R. Moore, Joe Gaither across the glass helping us out this morning. Plenty to get into. In the past couple of days, we've been talking a lot about NIL, and today we're going to have on a special guest. His name is Luke Fedlam. He's an NIL expert, non-agent sports attorney, president of the Anomaly Sports Group, partner and chair of the sports law practice at Porter Wright Law Firm. You can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Luke Fedlam, F-E-D-L-A-M. We're going to talk with him and get his thoughts on a lot of different things surrounding NIL and the evolutionary process of college football, things like high tide and what they mean for the future of college football. We'll pick his brains on that in about 15 minutes. But before we do that, you know, we're sponsored by Alabama Vintage on the show. So the first player you hear about in the intro is Will Anderson. The very next one is Derrick Thomas, right? We pay homage to the legends, right? You have to. It's within the blood of college football. And some of my favorite memories of being the producer of the game with Ryan Fowler was when we had former head coach Gene Stallings on every single week to talk college football. And I love Gene Stallings, right? He's chewed me out before. Like, that's an honor, right? And the other day, Thursday to be exact, yesterday, Coach Stallings talked about today's football. and said, quote, "I'm glad I'm not coaching in today's game. First of all, you have to handle them with kid gloves, because if you're really tough and rough on them, they can leave without a penalty. They can go and be eligible immediately. I think they made a mistake when they allowed the player to transfer and play immediately. And I think they made a mistake when they allowed the player to the transfer to leave for no reason." That's just a personal opinion. And I agree that it's your opinion. You're allowed to have the opinion, and I'm allowed to disagree with you, just as you're allowed to disagree with me. And this will be a one-sided conversation for obvious reasons. We're not talking to Coach Stallings today. But this is what I was talking about yesterday with Nick Saban. Because Nick Saban doesn't like the current atmosphere of the transfer portal or the NIL. But you don't hear him saying, "I'm glad I'm not coaching in today's game." You don't hear him saying or really complaining about that nature. Instead, he uses it to his advantage to remain the best. He evolves with the lifestyle of this sport, because at the end of the day, the way things exist right now does not mean that it will decimate the future of the sport. College football is going to be fine. I've said this a gazillion times, and way back before these things came into being the way that they are, NIL and the transfer portal. The way that those exist was going to be broken from the start, but the NCAA, ESPN, the powers that be across the board, whether in suits or otherwise, will never allow this sport to be broken beyond repair. There doesn't have to be a fear-mongering message behind the evolutions of this sport, even if you don't like them. College football is not ruined. College football cannot be ruined. It can't. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any money. And you could point and say, "Jacob, look at the MLB. Is the MLB not ruined to a certain degree?" And I would say yes, because there's a way that those things that prioritize money in a way that allows them to continue to make the money, that makes them happy enough, they don't feel the need to evolve the sport. This is a situation, though, where the government told you that what you were doing was flatly illegal, and you don't have to do a lot of hard critical thinking to understand exactly where that was coming from. That what college football was for a long time was illegal in the face of everything this country stands for, in the name of capitalism and freedom and ownership over your career, over your livelihood. So if you're still on the back burner of players shouldn't be allowed to do whatever they want to do, then why can you leave your cozy spot as a football coach in college and go coach for the Dallas Cowboys? Why can you do that? Because you're an adult? Well, newsflash, you both can vote. You're both adults. You both can do whatever you feel necessary to achieve your goals, make money for yourself, and pursue your career. Can you not? Coach Stallings going on to say, you go to school for an education, you don't go to play college football. You go to college to get an education. Now, if you don't like the coach, for example, you transfer. You go to another school, and then you go to another school. How about all those hours that you lose? No one ever talks about that. That's something that all transfers have to do.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon with a sunny sky. The high today, 83. Tonight, clear with a low at 59. And a very warm weekend ahead. Lots of sunshine tomorrow and Sunday. Highs up in the middle 80s, ranging from 84 to 87 degrees. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Escape is never Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, J.R. Moore, Joe Gaither behind the glass, helping us out this morning. Helping us out with some Pearl Jam there. It was if you go to alt1017.com, by the way, you vote on what the top Pearl Jam album is of all time for yourself. And, I mean, come on. Is there really another option beyond 10? Are you going to pick a different album other
than
10?
Vitalogy is up there. It's up there.
That's what Dissidents off of Vitalogy, right? Yeah, see? So 10 does it, man. I mean, come on.
Can't 10 is one of the best rock albums of all time.
Yeah,
so.
Alive, Jeremy, it's all there. You got to love it. Love our music on here, but we also love supporting college athletes and their rights to make money for themselves. So let's continue the NIL conversation with an NIL expert, non-agent sports attorney, president of the Anomaly Sports Group, partner and chair of the sports law practice at Porter Wright Law Firm, at Luke Feldman on Twitter and Instagram accounts, Mr. Luke Feldman. How are you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing incredible. My fan base might not, my listener base, I should say, is probably not too happy with me because we took this NIL conversation from words that the great Gene Stallings had yesterday at an event where he was kind of annoyed by the entire situation. But we have to step back and kind of look at it. But I want to ask you, how do you get into the NIL scape from where you were before it was approved as a non-agent sports attorney, counseling student athletes, professional athletes, retired athletes? And now how has kind of your job shifted within the past calendar year since this became available?
I'll tell you, this past year has been absolutely insane with all of the change that's come. I mean, when you think about it, NIL is one of the biggest changes to college sports as we've known it, right, in this generation. So for me, I've worked with professional athletes for the last 17, 18 years. And in working with athletes at the professional level, obviously they've been doing endorsement deals and marketing deals and, you know, being a brand ambassador for forever. And for me to be able to see that firsthand from a legal perspective at the pro level, then we knew that once name, image, and likeness became approved at the college level, that there were going to be some of the same challenges: understanding money, understanding the contracts, making sure that athletes are being protected and not taken advantage of. So it was an easy transition. It's just been incredibly busy.
And I'm sure it's something where you're constantly learning too, as the evolutionary landscape of the entire thing is on a continuous trajectory. There's no place to sit and be calm in the state of NIL. The wild, wild west, I think, is still just not an apt description of it because it doesn't completely do it justice. The wild west was a thing that existed for a long time without a lot of change. This is constantly, constantly changing. And one of the new things that Alabama has here with the Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa is a new NIL collective called High Tide Traditions. But before I ask you more specifically what collections are and how they work for the student athletes, Nick Saban said shortly after that was introduced that last year Alabama athletes made more in NIL than any other program in the country. And it's not hard to see why. I mean, Alabama is what it is. But if they're not using a collective and almost everybody else is, what are the different ways that athletes are using NIL to create revenue for themselves, if not through a collective in their university?
Absolutely. And when we talk about NIL collectives, they are relatively new. So a year ago, that phrase, those two words weren't put together. No one knew what that was. It was created shortly after the football season started last fall. When we look at pre kind of collectives, or even for student athletes that are at schools outside of collectives, one of the ways that they're really doing deals is through direct contact with business owners and brands. When name, image, and likeness was approved and became a legitimate opportunity for student athletes July 1st of last year, most student athletes opened up their direct messages, their social media, saying, "I'm open for business. Feel free to reach out to me." So that we already know that there are companies that establish relationships with athletes even before NIL, just through the school sponsorship, companies, brands that they work with, alumni of the university and institution. So we've seen that happen before. And so now with name, image, and likeness, we do have a lot of athletes who just have brands reaching out to them directly on social media. And there are opportunities for them to come up with deals that way. And then there are some athletes, especially as you would well know at the University of Alabama, that are that elite of an athlete that they're able to engage with a marketing agent who's out there finding them deals and finding them opportunities. So those are just a couple of the ways beyond just NIL Collective that student athletes are doing deals.
Yeah, and I reference it a lot, but On3, one of the new fan kind of websites, has a On3 NIL 300 where it ranks all of those athletes. And you mentioned how some of the elite get to where they are in creating that revenue space for themselves. Alabama has Bryce Young and John Metchie and Will Anderson on there as carryover from last year, all in the top 10 with Arch Manning, a prospect that they hope to sign, who's at the top of the list. So definitely as far as these guys creating value for themselves, that's an argument that I want to get into as well a little bit later in the conversation of these athletes, how they created value for themselves in high school. But before that, with the NIL collectives, now that Alabama does have High Tide traditions, what differences can fans expect to be able to see? Because last year, in trying to cover all of these deals, it was nearly impossible for us at Tide 100.9 to write something on all of these deals because there wasn't a lot of information on them. Is that something that can change with something like High Tide Traditions to allow more access and understanding to what these sponsorship deals are for our athletes?
That's a question, and that'll be tough to really see because oftentimes when it comes to name, image, and likeness deals, they are endorsement deals, marketing deals, but they're at their core, they're a contract between a student athlete and a third party. And when you have that contract from a confidentiality perspective, there's no requirement to make that information easily accessible and available. Now, through a collective, however, you can have much more broad oversight over the types of deals, the number of deals, the value of deals, if that collective decides to share that information. I'll tell you, all collectives are created differently. As they have been created, you know, really over the last 9-10 months, they are all different in how they engage. And just like you said earlier about how quickly the pace of change is happening right now in name, image, and likeness, collectives, even though they're being established, are constantly evolving and growing in terms of how they're doing the work that they're doing. So I think that there will probably be more like some of this information that we're going to be able to get. We'll just have to wait and see.
Another thing that was kind of brought up by Saban himself when he mentioned that was, you know, we as a program give all of the players, walk-ons included, the same kind of medical treatment, the same dietary supplement, you know, everybody's kind of treated equally in that space. And one of the big concerns, which I find very ironic here in the state of Alabama, is the lack of fairness within NIL. You know, the idea that the quarterback is going to make way more money than his offensive line. His offensive line might not want to block for him. We've chased that rabbit down a hole and had him for dinner already, as far as I'm concerned on this show. But when it comes down to that, is that kind of one of the pursuits of many collectives, is to allow for a tad bit more fairness in this? You're not leaving the players simply to their own devices?
I think the fairness that we have is that NIL is open to anyone, right? So then the question is, well, how do other athletes just, you know, be able to profit off of NIL or just even find opportunities? And I do think that that's where collectives can come into play, because collectives are focused on a singular institution and they are focused on bringing name, image, and likeness opportunities and dollars to student athletes. We're going to see student athletes be able to engage in NIL possibly when they might not have been able to do it directly themselves. Obviously, your star players, your star athletes, and not just your star athletes, but your athletes who happen to have a significant social media following. And they may not be the star athlete, but they just happen to have a lot of followers on social media. They're going to have deals that will be presented to them and that will come to them. But when a student athlete that maybe isn't an elite athlete, maybe doesn't have the biggest following on social media, but still wants to engage in name, image, and likeness, the collective could be an opportunity for them to experience opportunities that they wouldn't have but for the collective.
And those were some of the cooler aspects we got to see in July of last year, where we're, you know, musicians and social media activists and so many things beyond the scope of what your talent could bring you. It was the proof – in the way that these athletes were able to create value for themselves with more than just what they did on the field, on the court, or on the pitch. We're talking with Luke Fedlam, a NIL expert, non-agent sports attorney, president of the Anomaly Sports Group, partner and chair of the sports law practice at Porter Wright Law Firm. You can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Luke Fedlam, F-E-D-L-A-M. And in mentioning the kind of social media aspect of it, the activism aspect of it, and kind of looking back over the last calendar year, is the impact that NIL had on women in sports. And we see it here at Alabama. We have I'm very biased in this, but one of the best softball pitchers in the world, Montana Fouts. And anytime that we write about Montana on our websites or talk about her, it explodes. And it's not just because of her talent. It's because of a lot of the things that she does through NIL to give back to the community. And people want to buy her merch. And a lot of the early success stories we saw of NIL were about female athletes. Is that a trend that has continued over these past 8 or 9 months?
That is a trend that we're seeing for sure. And, you know, there are a lot of women athletes that are able to engage in name, image, and likeness that are celebrities because of their sport and their athletic ability, also because of their social media. We've seen that oftentimes, generally speaking, women student athletes at the college level are more engaged with their social media following. And so therefore the impressions are higher, the value of their social media is higher. So from that perspective, we're seeing a lot. We're going to continue to see that across sports. And I just, you know, just the news over the last 24 hours with the Cavender twins, you know, Haley and Hannah Cavender on the basketball side, just transferring to Miami to play basketball. It's going to be interesting to see. Again, they were one of the, you know, first people out, or the two of the first people out in social media on name, image, and likeness last July 1st. So, yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of women student athletes who are able to engage and earn compensation. And it's, that's what makes NIL interesting, is that it is an equal opportunity for anyone who's a student athlete at the college level to be able to earn compensation.
That very easily wraps into the next question, is the transfer portal. And obviously, you know, there's, you either love both or you kind of hate both. And for much of our listening audience, it's very much a struggle to, because we see so many positives with the way that Montana uses her NIL, and we see some negatives too with the transfer portal. How closely are the two subjects married? Because the NCAA has a little bit more of a stronghold over the transfer portal. There's more rules that make some sense, such as the upcoming deadline to transfer and play within the next season. But also, you can't allow for tampering and the upheaval of talent. How closely are those two subjects in college sports really married, NIL and the transfer portal?
At the highest levels, in terms of the elite athletes that enter the transfer portal, they're very closely married. I mean, we have to be honest about that now, because of the transfer portal, a student athlete, you know, it's not just about the recruiting of the student athlete, but it's also about the retention of the student athlete. And so schools are thinking about, what are we doing to make sure that our top talent stays here and doesn't enter the transfer portal? So when you think about name, image, and likeness, it's just like any other asset that a school has, whether you look at the assets of being, you know, a coaching staff, the facilities that they have, the tradition, the conference that they're in, the academics, all of those are assets that a school will use to recruit and retain talent. Name, image, and likeness is now just another one of those assets. What is the school doing? How are they engaging with the local business community around name, image, and likeness? Is there a collective that happens to be affiliated, obviously not legally affiliated, but at least affiliated in some respects with that institution? All of these things are assets that absolutely play a role when we start to think about student athletes entering the transfer portal and potentially transferring.
And that really speaks to the value of what the players have created for themselves. And that leads back to the question I had mentioned before. Throughout the week, I've spent quite a bit of time talking about NIL and going on a few rants of myself, of my own. And one that kind of sparked some was a quote that I saw from The Athletic's article earlier in the week about NIL and the arms race that exists. And, you know, they accompanied that article with a graphic through Twitter of a Power 5 head coach being quoted as saying, you're really guessing that this 18-year-old guy who has proven zero is worth $1 million from somebody. What the expletive are we talking about? And I take a big, big, big issue with that quote, because even if these players can't earn for themselves in high school, aren't they creating a exponential amount of value for themselves through what they do in high school just to be recruited in the first place? And why it's so simple to look at an athlete like Arch Manning and expect him to be making a lot of money through NIL as soon as he signs his letter of intent?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's literally exactly what it is. You can't tell me that someone hasn't proven themselves if schools are spending all of the money that they're spending to recruit that player. There's clearly value there. There's clearly opportunity there. There are a lot of ways in which we will place value on potential. We do that regularly. Schools do that during their recruiting process. Professional teams do that during their draft analysis process. Now, granted, there's more of a body of work to look at when making those bets, but we do that at the college level all the time. So to try to, you know, articulate that they're not proven and therefore they shouldn't be making this money, that just doesn't make any sense. Athletes have value. That value comes from their existing performance that they've done, which has caused teams to want to recruit them. Athletes have value at the high school level as they develop their social media following and brand presence. So because of that, we know that the college sports is a big business and it's a big money business. That's why schools spend so much money in their recruiting. And they do that because these young athletes have value, they have talent, and I think that's where we're starting to see where name, image, and likeness is. It does make sense because there is value ultimately to a brand or company as they align with certain student athletes.
No doubt. And there's obviously risk involved for those brands. There's risks involved for those players. But I can't help but also think at the same time that if you're talking about a high school athlete coming to the college level and trying to say they've proven zero, you can easily compare that to the academic side as well, where intelligent students are given the opportunity to work within certain programs, work within certain businesses, and also get the scholarship money that they earn as well. And I think that's the biggest thing that often gets overlooked. It's not a handout. It's earned by all of these athletes. One of the things that we get harped on a lot, and especially one of my regular guests, who's a good friend of mine, we try to look ahead for the future of NIL. Even those of us that support NIL know that probably in its current state, it's not viable. We are easily agreed upon with Nick Saban on that matter. What are the things in NIL that still need to be fixed? What's the future of it? And how much of a role can the NCAA really expect to play in that future?
So when we think about kind of where things are going, the biggest question, I think, in terms of what needs to be changed and fixed, one of the issues that comes up a lot is the international student-athlete aspect. So international student-athletes who are in the United States on an F-1 visa aren't able to participate in name, image, and likeness. And so we know that there's some work that needs to be done from that perspective. That can only be done by Congress, though. That's not something that a state can control or something that a school or institution can control. We also have to look at, more broadly speaking, as we look at where things are going, the interesting thing is that right now, with no national standard, I think that's a good thing. I think that we've been into, 10 months, 9 months of name, image, and likeness. A lot has changed. As we talked about earlier, the pace of change is fast right now, but there is a lot of opportunity for us to continue to learn and grow and see how student athletes are benefiting and engaging and seeing how schools and institutions are using it. So I think that's a good thing, because you are correct. The NCAA is really not going to be able to restrict name, image, and likeness and put up guardrails like they might have been able to had they passed this years ago. But now, because of the NCAA versus Alston Supreme Court case last summer, it was very clear when the NCAA lost unanimously at the Supreme Court, where the court ultimately said that you cannot restrict student athletes when it comes to compensation and benefits. So from that perspective, there's not going to be a situation where a few years from now, we're going to just all of a sudden have a cap on the amount that a student athlete can earn. There could be some some guardrails that get put into place that may somewhat limit a student athlete's engagement in name, image, and likeness, but it's not going to be based on the amount that they can earn. So ultimately, I think we're in a place where we're going to continue to see how this plays out in the coming years. Congress may get involved, but at the same time, the issues that Congress is going to be dealing with when it comes to name, image, and likeness could get very divisive. There are some significant challenges when we look at even right now, one of the bigger issues that's coming up with student athletes is should they be categorized or classified as employees? And that's a big discussion that's being handled with the National Labor Relations Board. There are some federal courts that are dealing with it right now. And then there's also a couple states that are talking about it through their legislative process. So these are all some significant issues that we're going to have to see how they play out in the coming years.
Off that last point, what worries so many people that love the traditions of college football and even our dear coach Gene Stallings is the idea of amateurism. Is NIL really stepping on amateurism to the point where this is professionalism? In my mind, and I don't mean to lead you, but in my mind, this has always been a professional sport. We were just illegally using the abilities of these athletes. Anybody that turns on the TV and watches or supports by buying products and all that sort of stuff adds to the professionalism of it. But how much of an impact does NIL have in kind of that new transition evolution of college sports where it's not so much of an amateurism aspect anymore?
Well, listen, Jacob, you're right. At the end of the day, we've got a situation where, you know, Turner pays $1 billion for 3 weeks of college basketball in March. I mean, college sports have been professional for a long time. There is an incredible amount of money, and student athletes haven't been able to participate in that. And what we're looking at right now is not even just the idea of student athletes getting paid by the institutions, but rather partnering with a third party, an independent third party, for providing the license to their name, image, and likeness. And that's what NIL is. So this idea of the fact that amateurism is lost now because a student athlete can go earn compensation, to me, it's just a bit too far. You made the analogy with regular students, right? Non-athlete students and the academic side of things. You could make that same argument here where you're talking about now we have, if you have somebody that gets a scholarship because they're a great, you know, cello player, and all of a sudden does that ruin, you know, music because now that cello player has been able to go out and earn compensation for themselves, right? I mean, there are so many different ways that we could look at this that ultimately amateurism is a concept that really doesn't have a lot of weight in the sense that name, image, and likeness does not step on the toes of amateurism. Amateurism at the college level is student athletes earning an academic degree while playing sports or being able to study while playing sports. And now, yes, they can earn money through name, image, and likeness with third parties.
There's so many other questions and I don't have the time for it. Lord, there's so much there, so much more to unpack, but we do have to cut it off there. Luke, tell us what you do on a daily basis to help athletes and anything else that you need to promote. We thank you for your time. Absolutely. The floor is yours.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. As you said earlier, you can find me on social media at Luke Fedlam. I focus every day on educating folks. We work with colleges and universities all across the country, educating their athletes, their coaches, their staff. We talk at the high school and at the pro level with teams in terms of their development and education. So absolutely, I have a podcast called Protecting Your Possibilities Podcast. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. I appreciate the time, and I hope I can come back and have more conversation with you.
Absolutely. Hey, June and July are tough times around here. I'm sure we'll circle back to the NIL conversation. We greatly appreciate it, Luke, and I hope you have a great weekend, my friend.
Thanks. You too, Jacob. Take care.
Absolutely. Luke Fedlam there helping us out. What a great conversation there. If you're against NIL, I hope you learned something. If you love NIL, I hope you learned something as well, because good Lord, there was a lot there. And there was even more, you know, the next things that I wanted to ask about just wasn't the time there. But a great conversation there. Glad we were able to have it. And it ties in so well with everything that we've talked about with Gene Stallings and Nick Saban. So if you missed any of that conversation, it'll be available on the Tide 100.9 app as well as Spotify and iTunes. Be sure to go in there. Whatever service you use, whether it's our app, Spotify, or iTunes, go in and be sure to subscribe to the show so that you can get notifications when the show is posted, and you'll be able to listen to that interview in its entirety, plus the lead up with the controversial things that I said concerning Gene Stallings. I know I lost some points on the old around the horn board when it came to that one, but we'll take a break. We'll come back, close down the show, and close down the week here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama sports.
We aren't going anywhere. Off the Edge is available in the podcast center on Tide100.9.com.
Put me in the category with Ryan Fowler. Your boy is the employee of the month at Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
Overrated.
Hey, overrated. That's probably the truest thing that's ever been said on this show. I appreciate it from everybody. Hey, we got like 3 minutes, so I can't get too deep into this. But Big Matt, who's I know he's a listener on the game, said, you know, that he tweeted at me, said that he played college sports and even moved on before NIL, of course, and that football should be in its own category compared to other sports. It needs regulations, but of course, he's all for capitalism, and I am as well. But isn't that exactly the point, though? And if it's all about football has created its value to the point where it has the biggest following. Therefore, it should make more money than everybody else. But if Montana can make more than 80% of the football team, then let her. You know what I mean? If JD Davison can come in, I don't know how much JD made. But if JD came in and made more than 80% of the football team, then let him, right? And maybe I'm misunderstanding what Big Matt said. I appreciate his involvement in the show either way. But if I don't think it's necessary to split that off, because players are in control of their own value, even if they play in a sport that is not as viewed. Because as we mentioned with Montana, and as we've mentioned before with the Twins out at Fresno State, who are now transferring to an even bigger market, because you may weigh more money somewhere else than Fresno State. Brilliant. Women's basketball does not have that kind of viewership, and they made more money than most everybody. You know, so it's... And there's the gymnast at LSU, right? Like, and, you know, you can point and say, you know, well, there's certain circumstances that help with those situations. Sure, but value is value is value. And if you exploit those to your benefit, like Nick Saban does in his roster management, it's nothing but a help for you. And if others can't exploit those benefits for their own, tough luck, man. Welcome to America. Welcome to capitalism. And if you don't like it, it is what it is at that point. But if we're going to root college sports into being all about traditions, shouldn't it fall in line with the traditions of this country in some way? And y'all want to talk about how blue I am sometimes, right? I'm pretty middle ground on a lot of things. And I see JR's over there talking. He's talking trash. He's like, he's a liar. He's a liar. Y'all have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk again on Monday. Next week, NFL Draft Week. We'll talk with Ryan Robertson and have a whole bunch of fun. I'll have my final mock draft out. I definitely will, I promise. The Jay Barker Show's up next. Y'all enjoy it.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon with a sunny sky. The high today, 83. Tonight, clear with a low at 59. And a very warm weekend ahead. Lots of sunshine tomorrow and Sunday. Highs up in the middle 80s, ranging from 84 to 87 degrees. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Thank you for listening.